The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 59, and it's great to be back on again. And today, I want to introduce y'all to another awesome guest. I want to welcome to the Fearless Podcast, Will Duffy. Will, how you doing today?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So a little bit of backstory for y'all. I follow Justin Peters Ministries on YouTube. And a couple weeks ago, he had this guy, Will Duffy, on. And he's talking about the final experiment. And I was so fascinated by all this. I'm like, I got to check this out. And I want to talk about how this whole thing came to being. And then maybe I can talk a little bit about why I am fascinated with it. But Will, maybe you can explain like maybe a little bit of your background and then why the final experiment.
Sure. So my background, I currently pastor a church, a small church outside of Denver, Colorado. That was nothing that I really planned on doing. I was in the financial world for many years. I wrote financial books. I gave people financial advice and various different things in regarding taxes and investing and all of that. And then in September of 21, our pastor died unexpectedly. He was a dear friend of mine. We had attended his church for a very long time. And I ended up, it didn't happen immediately, but I ended up taking over his church. And so kind of transitioned out of the financial world into the world of pastoring. Around the same time in 2021, I was introduced to Flat Earth. Now, Flat Earth, probably for most people, is something that you've heard of, but it's kind of more of a joke and you don't ever really take it seriously. I didn't think Flat Earth was a thing. And then a friend of mine, she posted about it on Facebook. And so I immediately just thought it was a joke, but there weren't laugh reactions on it. It was, you know, a lot of thumbs up and hearts, which was a little peculiar. So I looked in the comments and everybody was agreeing with her. So I was like, man, what is going on? Is it April Fool's or something? So I engaged with her and found out that Flat Earth is a thing. She's a Flat Earther. And it didn't take me very long to realize that Flat Earth is actually alive and well, and it's actually growing. And it's growing significantly not only nationwide, but also internationally. It's growing all around the entire world. And this was like so interesting to me. Most people, I'm guessing, probably wouldn't care, but I care. And I thought to myself, let me figure out what's going on. Was there something I missed? And I also like to, you know, just have discussions with people. I don't mind a debate. I don't turn down many debates if someone wants to debate me on something, because I really, it's fine if I'm wrong. I'll admit if I'm wrong. So I was, you know, interested in maybe trying to change her mind. Next thing you know, I'm watching Flat Earth videos. I'm reading Flat Earth articles. I'm getting bombarded by memes. And I'm also getting an education on the globe model, an education on our universe and the lights in the sky and cosmology and all of this stuff. And so it's been fun for me. There were arguments presented to me from not only my friend who's a flat earther, but other flat earthers. And they were good arguments. They were arguments that I couldn't respond to without looking into them more. And there was one that really stuck with me. And that was this. A flat earther told me that there was a picture of Earth on NASA's website with duplicated clouds on it. And they were arguing that that picture was Photoshopped and it was fake. And I'm like, no, that can't be true. Normally, when I see something on a meme or from a flat earther that makes a claim, usually when I research it, it's not true. or there's something missing or it's taken out of context or whatever. But this guy, he did the right thing when you're in a discussion. He said, Will, here's a link to NASA's own website. Go look for yourself. I can click on a link. And I did. And he was right. The picture on NASA's website had duplicated clouds. That was my like eureka moment. I was like, okay, if there's a conspiracy, this is evidence. And so I need to know for myself what's going on here. And so that really is when I really dug down and started looking into this very, very carefully, researching it. And I ended up on the other side of all of this research, fully convinced that we live on a globe. But I also noticed that the debates just rage on about this issue. And I thought to myself, okay, why aren't people getting convinced? There's not this, you know, it's not like globe, the people on the globe side are going to flat earth en masse. It's not like flat earthers are saying, oh, never mind, it's a globe en masse. And so I was like, okay, what if I could come up with an idea that would end the debate? And that is how I came up with the final experiment.
Wow. Now, so I listened to the concept of the final experiment, and it makes a lot of sense. It sounds very ubiquitous among the flat earth community that this illustration will conclusively break the tie. A little bit of my backstory. So in 2014, I got a book and it's called Geocentricity, Christianity in the Woodshed. And this guy was an astronomer, Jerry Bao. And that's how I was introduced to geocentricity. And so I ascribed to that. I actually had a geocentrist on the podcast, Philip Stock, several episodes ago. But so when I was first introduced to flat earth, I mean, I got crushed by it, you know, online. You just get hit with all the stuff and all these videos. And initially you watch it and there's a lot of compelling stuff and a lot of compelling arguments. But having already understanding the geocentric model and all those arguments, I'm like, basically what's happened is they're taking all these geocentric arguments that are scientifically observable in the sense of experiments. You can observe these things. And they're saying, because of all these things, the earth is flat, which there aren't any geocentrists that I'm aware of that believe that the earth is flat. And after I started watching all these flat earth videos, almost every video I would watch, it would be very compelling, but then it would have this most insane, like wild hair. I still remember one was an Eric Dubé video, and there's lots of crazy stuff in that. But then one, I think this guy's deceased now, Rob Skiba. And I'm watching this video and he's explaining the problem I always had with the flat earth is like, maybe it is flat, whatever. But like, I can see that the moon is round, and I not only see that it's round, I can see that it's spherical. It's not flat. The Bible talks about the circle of the earth. And then I've observed both solar and lunar eclipses. And there's a great book, another great book called The Privileged Planet. And I believe from a Christian and a biblical perspective, all of these things were designed for us to observe, you know, so that we can clearly see, just like from Romans 1, that we are created by God, you know, and that his creation clearly illustrates that. And I couldn't reconcile a flat pizza or a dish shaped thing with a dome over it, which is actually like a half a globe, which, you know, you could never get a consensus on a model. And so the other problem I had is like, well, I can clearly observe these things that I can't explain if the earth is flat. And then you're getting crushed by all these videos. And Rob Skiba did this thing about the moon and literally said it was like a night light and it turns on and off and different things. And I'm like, well, who's turning the moon night light on and off? Like, is that like they, them, and those, and the government and all this stuff? And the way I started viewing it, I think the problem with modern society is clearly postmodern deconstructionism, you know, and just like Pilate asked, what is truth? You know, I believe that creating this controversy is all part of deconstructing truth. And I'm excited to see the results of this experiment. And what I find even more intriguing is the kind of traction, like the social media. So is it true that Tim Pool and Alex Stein are going to be on, are going to be going to Antarctica?
That is yet to be determined. So Tim Pool has stated twice that he will pay to send Alex Stein to Antarctica because Alex Stein is in the Flat Earth camp. And so we'll see. I think this is going to continue to get more and more momentum. And I would love it if anybody and everybody wants to go. But before I explain to your audience what the final experiment is, I should mention a couple things based on what you just told me. So the moon is a weird one for me. The flat earth side, I don't think we can paint them with a broad brush here, but I can say this. I've had a very hard time getting flat earthers to tell me that the moon is a sphere. That's very difficult. I've had a very hard time getting flat earthers to tell me that the moon is a rock and not a light. That's difficult. And so that's a little bit peculiar to me because you can see the moon with your own eyes. I've had one flat earther tell me that the moon is actually concave instead of convex. It's a lot of weird positions that are going on. And so that one to me feels like they are just trying to be contrary, which is interesting. I have children that already have that as part of their personality, but I kind of wish, like, you know, the importance in a when you're going to have a conversation with somebody where there's going to be a disagreement, it's kind of nice to find common ground at the beginning. And so I have tried to find common ground before discussions on the moon, and it just doesn't happen. So,
yeah. And speaking of the moon, once again, I am what would commonly be referred to, I guess, as a conspiracy theorist or a conspiracy realist. And I personally do think that the moon landing was faked. Does that mean we never went to the moon? I don't know. I believe that what they point to as proof that we went to the moon was manufactured. And I know people have different theories to explain that away. I'm not really buying it, only because when we look at the mountain of propaganda that the government spits out to, you know, facilitate whatever, I'm just not buying it. So that's another thing about this whole flat earth thing. And like you were talking about being argumentative and contrarian, I mean, that's one of the biggest issues I had. And it, not painting everybody with a broad brush, but like plateaus are stumps of giant trees and all of this like multiverse kind of like very way over the top. Once again, to me, it reeks of postmodern deconstructionism because now, you know, these mesas were these ancient, like we somehow live in Avatar, and these gigantic mesas were huge oak trees that were hewn down or something. It gets so wild and crazy, and it doesn't have to do that. And I was in on that first wave in 2016. When it really got ramped up and then it went real quiet. And now it seems to be gaining massive traction again. And we're getting all this UAP stuff, and we're going to have all this disclosure. And I really see it kind of all culminating together. And so much of this is exclusively, in my opinion, from my observation, to reject and deny God, you know? And that's the major problem I have with modern cosmology, is it objectively rejects scripture, you know, hundreds of millions of years and billions of years, and nothing exploded and everything happened. And now they're saying that, you know, this whole universe concept. And if you haven't watched The Principle, it came out in 2014, and you can see it on YouTube. But it's a geocentric, it's a geocentric documentary about geocentrism. And they point out the same fact that now cosmology is moving towards this whole multiverse model, right? So instead of universe, which the word universe literally means single spoken sentence, which points to the Genesis creation account, right? Now that more of the observable science is irrefutably pointing to all of this law and all of this, everything is so designed and organized that they're like, well, then obviously, and I would even postulate that as these astrophysicists keep going down this multiverse trail, like, well, yeah, there could be a flat earth out there, you know, in one of the multiverses, it could be flat. And it's amazing to me that the hoops they'll go through to jump through to continue to reject God, because guys like Mikko Koku and Larry Strauss, they start with the presuppositional position. Well, obviously there can't be a God. So there's got to be trillions of universes, and there's all these different versions of us and Earth. And it's like, it's so amazing, but I'm going down a rabbit trail. Maybe we could get back on the topic, and maybe you could explain what is the final experiment.
Yeah. So when it comes to these other debates that you're mentioning, like whether or not we landed on the moon and whether or not there's a multiverse, those are, you know, those are tough to solve, because you're going to be relying on eyewitness testimony. You're going to be relying on equipment that doesn't exist anymore, but we live on a planet. We live on this world, and it has a shape. And so that's what I love, is the simplicity of the final experiment, is figuring out the largest object that we can touch and test ourselves in existence, just what is the shape of it. And so I created this background behind me so that I can kind of, people can use it so I can explain to them what's going on. So if we start here with the globe, as you go south of the equator on a globe, it gets smaller, okay? So the lines of latitude get smaller and smaller and smaller. And then eventually you have on the globe model a south pole, because you also have a north pole, right? And so at the bottom of this globe here would be Antarctica. And it would be an island. It would be a big island, but it would be surrounded completely by water. And so that's important for people to understand, is Antarctica is a special place on the globe, because it is at the bottom in this perspective. It's at the bottom of the globe. And so now let's talk about the flat earth model. And so here is the flat earth model. And the white circle that you can see going around, that is Antarctica on the flat earth model. And here's why. As you go south, which on this model is further away from center. So the North Pole is the center of the flat earth. As you go further south, you'll notice it gets bigger, not smaller. And so when you get to Antarctica, you're talking about a massive piece of land. The land of Antarctica on the flat Earth model is so big, you can see that it encompasses all of the known continents. It holds in all of the water on the Earth, and it's just huge. And so Antarctica, which is why I created this logo here, it's the two models of Antarctica we're comparing to one another. The island model on the globe side and this ice wall on the flat Earth side. So that's step number one, is I found something that is essentially as different as possible between the two models, wildly different in size, wildly different in shape, wildly different in function. And now, okay, great. Now what do we do with it, right? If Antarctica is this island, then the flat Earth model doesn't work. That is the globe model. But if it is this outer ring that's massive, encompassing all of the continents and all of the water on the Earth, then that doesn't work on a globe model. Now, it's going to be difficult to figure out what the shape of Antarctica is. People have suggested different things like circumnavigating it and taking boats around it and all that kind of stuff. But that's all complicated. So we're doing something very simple with the final experiment, and it's this. The sun does something very different on the globe versus the flat Earth. Wildly different. And I learned about this from all of these flat Earth debates. So on the globe model, there is what's known as a 24-hour sun or a midnight sun, both in the north, at the North Pole and the South Pole. So in the Arctic Circle on the north and in the Antarctic Circle on the south. For people that are not familiar with that, because of the tilt of the globe in the globe model, right now, you know, essentially the northern hemisphere, that tilt is toward the sun. And so if you go far enough north on the globe right now and in the last couple of weeks, you have what's called a 24-hour sun, which means the sun stays in the sky for 24 hours. It never sets. And it essentially would do a circle in the sky. So normally we see it rise from the horizon in the east and set in the horizon in the west, but that doesn't happen in the north. Now, the flat earthers agree that that happens in the north because that happens in their model as well. So on their model, which is flat, the sun is doing this above it. And so right now the sun is doing circles, tight circles in the north, which is in the center of the flat Earth. But now let's go to December, which is known as the southern summer. So in the globe model, it's now the southern hemisphere that is tilted toward the sun. And so a lot more people are familiar with long periods of darkness, such as in, you know, Alaska and places in the north that don't have sun. And that is because the north is tilted away from the sun when the south is tilted toward the sun. So during that time when there's all this darkness in Alaska and the areas up north, that's when on the globe model, the sun is the Antarctica is getting lots of sun. So if you go far enough south on the globe model, you're going to have days where the sun doesn't set. Just like in the north, the sun stays above the horizon and does a circle like this. That's what would happen on the globe model. But if we look at the flat Earth model, in the flat Earth model, the sun has to get all the way around the entire world. So it's actually covering a much larger distance, which means it's traveling faster. And you can't have a 24-hour sun in Antarctica because the sun is going around the entire world, because we still have all the other continents experiencing and seeing the sun where they're at. And so just pick a spot, any spot you want on this ice wall here, and you would never go to that one spot and then all of a sudden have a sun circling around your head. That's nonsense, right? That's silly. People visit Antarctica from various countries. They visit different places. And so we're going to go to Antarctica and settle this debate once and for all with whether or not there's a 24-hour sun.
Yeah, and that was another issue I had with all these flat earth theories. I never heard one that didn't involve collusion with the governments of the world to prohibit people from visiting the ice wall or touching the ice wall. And it just seemed so outlandish and over the top. And we are watching governments collude, you know, and we watch these different conspiratorial things that actually happen. But I think we discredit them when we ascribe it to some outlandish thing, which is what I think the ice wall is outlandish. And then not only that, the religious folks involved, because there are incredibly Gnostic folks like Eric Dubay that are involved with the flat earth model, and it very much mimics like mysticism and, you know, the flat earth on the back of the turtle that's on the back of an elephant or whatever. And then there is a very large and growing religious component where the flat earth model is almost like the gospel. And it's like, if people could just see that the earth is flat, they would know there's a God and they would unbiblically somehow get converted and saved. And so this is this keystone truth to all truth, and it's the shape of the earth, which isn't found in scripture anywhere. You know what I mean? So it gets like over amplified and over exalted. And that's why I'm fascinated with the experiment. Now, let me ask you a question. From what I understand, you're offering to pay for yourself, a glober, and a flat earther to go to Antarctica. Now, my basic math says that's like $100,000.
You're pretty good at math. yeah. So when I was coming up with this idea for the final experiment, that's not a name that I take lightly, right? The final experiment. Like, this needs to be final. We have to figure this out. It's 2024. And so in all of my time, you know, getting involved in all the flat earth stuff, I learned a lot. One thing I learned was that experiments are done, and they're not done in collaboration with the other side. The globe side does their experiments, the flat earth side does their experiments, and neither one accepts the results of the other because they weren't there to keep everybody honest and to make sure all the, you know, measurements are right and all the numbers were taken down correctly. And so I said, okay, the final experiment is going to be done by both sides. Both sides together. They're going to hold each other accountable. They're not going to allow them to lie. They're not going to allow them to fudge numbers. They're not going to allow them to hide evidence. So, for example, let me throw this out there. People have asked me, flat earthers pretty much exclusively, have said, Will, if you really wanted to do this, you would just do it yourself. You would have just gone to Antarctica already. You would have filmed what the sun does, and you would tell everybody. Okay, let me explain why that doesn't work. Number one, the number one argument that I can tell on the flat earth side is to call people liars. That seems to be the number one argument. Now, again, people lie, right? Everybody I've ever met has lied. And so there's some truth to people lying, but when it's your number one argument and you say everyone is lying, it gets old. It starts to kind of lose its strength, right? So that would be the first thing that would happen. If I go to Antarctica and let's say hypothetically, I see a 24-hour sun, I film it, I come back and I say, hey, everybody, you don't know who I am, but I'm ending the debate. There's a 24-hour sun in Antarctica. They're just going to say that I'm lying. They're going to say that my videos are altered or CGI or whatever. So that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I want you guys to consider something, because I'm getting a lot of flack, and it's like, you guys, I've created an incredible thing here, which is an incredible opportunity for both sides. What if I went to Antarctica to do this experiment and the sun set? What if I went there and there is no 24-hour sun and the videos that we have are faked and are doctored and the sun literally sets? Imagine if I would just come back and just be like, ho-hum, I saw a 24-hour sun. I didn't have the right equipment to film it. And so there you go. That would be terrible, right? Imagine doing an experiment that you think is going to disprove the other side, and the results are not what you expected, and then you just hide that evidence from the general public. That would be terrible. That has happened in the history of this debate. And so I'm trying to avoid all of that, make it fair. And so I'm like, okay, we're not doing an experiment without both sides. Both sides need to be present to keep each other honest. The second thing I found was that multiple experiments have been suggested, and then money gets in the way. So people say, here's my idea, but you have to pay for it. And then they say, well, we're not going to pay for it. You should pay for it. And it's just like, it doesn't get anywhere. People raise money to do an experiment, and then it just, poof, it's gone, vanish. You know, it's like, okay, this is not good. And by the way, this happens on both sides. I'm not picking on one side or the other. I'm pretty sure the Globe side has raised money and the people lost money. And so this is tragic. So I said, okay, I'm going to pay for it. I have been blessed in my life and I can afford it. And so I'm going to go ahead and pay for one flat earther and one globe earther to go. So that eliminates any accusations of lying, manipulating results, whatever, because we're going to have both people there. And it eliminates the money problem, which is someone saying it's too expensive, or we try to raise the money and people say, what if you steal it from me? So yes, I am doing that, all in pursuit of making this the final experiment.
And here's the beauty in, from my perspective, like you were saying, one of the arguments is like the other person is lying or the other side is lying. And this just reinforces this point I'm trying to make of postmodern deconstructionism, you know, and here you are, you're presenting real science and a real experiments in this sense. We're going to go collectively with opposing thoughts and opposing sides, and we're going to observe this together. We're going to document it. And that's real science. That's not like, you know, stay 6 feet apart because you won't transmit a disease or whatever, and all this other stuff that's going on in the name of scientism. That is deconstructing science itself. And here we have a modern day, you know, I don't know. I don't know who to ascribe you to, but anyway, this is really neat. It's fascinating. I think it's great that you're getting the kind of exposure and traction you're getting. And so in December, y'all are flying down there. Now it's a Team Flat Earth, Team Globe Earth. Who do we have so far that has committed to going?
Okay. So we ran some polling. So it wasn't my decision. We let everybody vote from both sides. So it's like, okay, we're going to vote for which flat earther you want to go. If you're on the globe side and you want a specific flat earther, you vote for him. If you're on the flat earth side and you want a specific flat earther, you vote for him. And a guy named Flat Earth Dave, David Weiss, won the poll on the flat earth side. I personally voted for him. I wanted him to win and he won. He has said in the past that the debate can be settled in Antarctica. He has said that the debate can be settled in Antarctica in one day, which will happen with the final experiment. He was talking about a different experiment when he said that. And he's also said that he is willing to fly to Antarctica to settle the debate, ready for this, with Globers on the plane. He specifically mentioned Neil deGrasse Tyson, who flat earthers despise. And so I was like, this is perfect. Flat Earth Dave has won the poll. And he turned down the free trip to Antarctica. Now, people are surmising all kinds of things as to why. The number one reason people are giving is they think he's a grifter and that he's grifting and he doesn't really care about the truth. I don't know if that's true. I am disappointed that he's not willing to go, but it is what it is. So he turned it down. So then we did a globe side poll.
And he turned you down. His excuse was because you're a shill, obviously. Right.
Actually, he said in writing, I shared his email just so people didn't think I was making it up. He said, because my friends are demons and liars.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was new to me. I did not know that prior to him revealing that to me. So anyway, so then we moved to the globe side. And on the Globe side, we ran a poll, and a guy named Dave McKeegan won. I didn't think he was going to win. Cy Mandan was in the poll, and Creaky was in the poll. Red's Rhetoric was in the poll. But anyway, Dave McKeegan won, which is great. So the people spoke. And who knows? Maybe that was a bunch of flat earthers. Maybe it was a bunch of globe earthers. And Dave McKeegan has a flat earth debunking channel. And he does a lot of fun stuff with, you know, videography. He's a videographer, I believe, by trade. And so he won and he accepted. And so he's going to represent Team Globe in December. He's accepted the free trip to Antarctica. He's excited to go, and he's gonna film whatever the sun does while we're there.
Now, there have been some other developments outside of the final experiment with incredibly, incredibly famous people deciding to go. I think it's either the week before or the week after y'all go.
It's after.
After. So who happens to be going to Antarctica the week after the final experiment?
Yeah, so William Shatner, so Captain Kirk, is going to Antarctica. He gets there the day after we leave.
Wow.
So funny coincidence there. He is in his 90s. He's still in pretty decent health, so he's checking off bucket list items. He's going. And then after I found out William Shatner was going, which I, again, believe is just a coincidence, he's actually going somewhere different. He won't be where we will be, which is Union Glacier, Antarctica. Then I found out Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to Antarctica. That was a little bit interesting to me. The weirdest part is that Neil deGrasse Tyson acted surprised that he got an invitation. So he's going with William Shatner. Now, I'll tell you what I think would be amazing is if Neil deGrasse Tyson went with us first and then left us and went onto the boat. But anyway, that's probably not going to happen. So anyway, then I actually, this is a brand new video that you probably haven't seen because I released it 5 minutes before we started. Scott Kelly, the NASA astronaut,
I Googled it, yeah,
is going to Antarctica as well with William Shatner and Neil deGrasse Tyson. This is really weird to me, in my opinion, to send a NASA astronaut to Antarctica. So here's the deal. Their trip, the William Shatner trip, is open to the public. Anyone can sign up. Anyone can go. Their limit is 260 people. So hundreds of people are going to Antarctica this December with William Shatner. Our trip, the final experiment, we are tagging along an annual excursion that a company called Antarctic Logistics and Expeditions puts on, ALE. They do it every single year. This is not a special trip for us. We don't have our own special plane, none of that. It's a regular trip. People are signing up to go on this trip who know nothing about the final experiment, and we're just tagging along. Obviously, we're paying for it. And so that trip holds up to, I think, 70 people. And so we're talking about literally hundreds of people are going to Antarctica this December within like a 10-day, 14-day time span of each other. And I think the final experiment is going to get enough traction and enough momentum to where everybody is going to be talking about the 24-hour sun. The cool thing about that is it doesn't have to ruin your trip. If you're going to Antarctica to see penguins, the 24-hour sun and figuring out if there's a 24-hour sun doesn't have to ruin your trip. If you're going to see glaciers or water animals or whatever, all you have to do is you have to say, okay, one night we're all going to stay up together and we're all just going to see what the sun does and, you know, pull an all-nighter. And so the reality is this is going to happen. It's going to happen in a very big way. And whatever happens is going to be documented by probably dozens of people. And so going forward, the end of 2024 is going to be a milestone in this debate because what the sun does in Antarctica is no longer going to be up for debate. It will be known. And it's going to be very difficult for the globe side, if that sun sets, to explain why it sets on the globe. Because if they want to change the tilt of the globe model, they're going to mess up the North Pole. So I don't think the globe can escape a setting sun. On the flip side, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to explain a 24-hour sun experienced by people in different locations, mind you, William Shatner, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Scott Kelly, why there's a 24-hour sun in multiple locations in Antarctica this December. And so this is going to be difficult, if not impossible, for either side to rescue their own model based on what we see. And so I'm excited. It kind of can't get here quick enough. I want to know what that sun does, and we're going to tell the world about it.
There's something happening in November in America. I forget exactly what it is, but I have set my calendar for the final experiment. I mean, the last thing that I'm waiting for in 2024 is the final experiment and the results. So, okay. So now you mentioned that Flat Earth Dave isn't going. Do you have a flat earther yet that's committed to the trip?
Okay, so yes, we moved to Jaron Campanella, and he has agreed to go. He doesn't want to go alone, which I think is fair. And so I gave up my seat for a second flat earther to go with Jaron. The name that made the most sense based on our polling was Austin Witsit. And so Austin Witsit has been offered the free trip along with Jaron, and Austin Witsit has agreed to take the free trip as well. I'm having a little bit of a hard time kind of getting them nailed down to a firm yes, to where I start writing checks and getting them medically approved and signed up. But they have things going on in their lives. Austin and his wife are about to have a baby, which is awesome. Cool. And so I'm not putting a lot of pressure on them, but they both have said yes. And so I think if they end up backing out of that, it's going to look pretty bad for various reasons, right? Why turn down a free trip to Antarctica? You gave conditions that you wanted to be met. They were met. Why say yes publicly multiple times and then say no? And so I do expect a yes from both of them, but it's not firm yet. And I'll try to firm that up here soon.
So you're going to forgo going. If those two guys go, you're going to stay home?
Yeah, good question. So it would be devastating for me personally if I'm not there, but I'm not made of money. I don't have a money tree in the backyard. And so if I go, if Jaron goes and I pay for Jaron, if Austin goes and I pay for Austin, and then obviously I'm paying for Dave McKeegan, the money's going to have to come from elsewhere. A ton of people have suggested crowdfunding, which I'm open to. It's not exciting to me. It's something that I, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, wanted to leave out of the final experiment just because of bad experiences people have had in the past. But I also have, you know, friends who are wealthy that may want to contribute funds. And so all of that is still open. We're still over 5 months away. I want to get everybody confirmed, signed up, paid for, and then worry about me.
So let's say, have you thought of a contingency if no flat earther? Because I totally understand you want a predominant flat earther to go for a magnitude of reasons. One, because of their reach. And I think that this supposed serendipitous thing with Shatner and Neil deGrasse Tyson and a NASA astronaut, or whatever you want to call them, that they're all going, I believe that this speaks to how big this whole flat earth thing is, because I don't think that's coincidental. And it's going to be massaged and manufactured to be like, oh, what do you know? Hey, let's look up. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be like that. But I think it speaks to the size of what's happening. And have you thought about, let's say, one of these big flat earthers, if they all refuse to go, which would be very admonishing, in my opinion, but.
Yeah, that would look really bad, because flat earthers have been saying for years that they're like, let us go to Antarctica, please. Let us in. They've been saying Antarctica holds the key to the shape of the earth. Even Austin Witsit has said that he was going to go to Antarctica this December anyway. And so, yeah, it's going to look really bad if no flat earther goes. I don't even know if that can be overcome, to be honest with you. Here's where things stand. I do believe Jaron is going to go. I believe he's a man of his word. I do believe Austin's going to go. I believe he's a man of his word. But worst case scenario, I already have multiple flat earthers that are on our list of 24. We invited 24 flat earthers and 24 globe earthers to go. I already have multiple flat earthers on the list of 24 that have said they will go. So we have that in writing. And then again, it'll move to them and hopefully they don't do the same thing. But if we have to, we'll go down the entire list of 24. And then if all of them say no, I already have multiple flat earthers that are not on the list that have agreed to go. So I'm not too concerned about that. I will say this, which is fascinating to me. I have lost count of how many globers have asked me if they can pretend to be flat earth, lie about being flat earth, or just convert to flat earth in order to go. Globers are desperate to get on this trip. Three of them are crowdfunding right now. They all want to go. And here's all I'll say. Thank you for being honest with me that you would be lying about being a flat earther in order to get the free trip.
Wow. That's incredible. Okay, Will, I'm gonna hold your feet to the fire. What do you say to the Christian that says, Will, you are spending $100,000 on this trivial matter. You could give that to the poor. What say you, Will?
Yeah, so obviously we all could look at the money that we're spending and we could give it to the poor, right? We could stop buying homes. We could stop buying cars. We could stop sending our kids to, you know, private Christian education and give the money to the poor. The reality is that I think this has a very important meaning. And here's why. And I can actually tie this to my faith. If the earth is flat, if Genesis 1 is describing a flat stationary plane enclosed by a dome, and that is true, that would be huge for Christianity to expose this lie, to expose this cover up, to expose this deception and be like, hey guys, look, what we've said, our interpretation of the Bible is right. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to be interested in the Bible. So if I can partake in uncovering the lie, I want to do that. That would be huge. But on the flip side, if the earth is a globe and there's not a lie, there's not a massive cover up, think of all the time, these same people that are telling me that this is a waste of money. Think of all the time you're wasting debating this issue when you could take that time to either be helping people who are in need or working to give that money to the poor as opposed to just sitting at home debating the shape of the earth. And so I look at this as a win-win for not just me, not just flat earthers, not just globe earthers, but for humanity. If we can stop the debate over the shape of the earth because we now know it's a globe, that's going to be huge. Think of how productive everybody will be because they don't have to, they can stop worrying about this every day. And if there is a cover-up, I'm going to expose that, and that would be historic.
Well said. Well said. I would agree with that. Now, I guess last question. So the final experiment, right? It's the final experiment. So after the final experiment is finally done, is there anything after the final experiment?
Not that I know of. So if the final experiment succeeds and it's done, then we got to figure out where to go next.
Cool.
Maybe we could take on the moon landings.
So go to the moon?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, maybe we could look into that and see what people think of that. And hey, going to the moon would be fun. That seems astronomically expensive to me.
Well, I just find this whole entire idea fascinating, and it's very scientific. It's very thoughtful. It's very inclusive, for lack of a better word. I just think it's great the way it's been structured, thought out. I think it's incredible that you're willing to invest your money into this and really make it, you know, we live in a very divided culture and society. And this issue, if you listen to the debates and watch all this stuff, is incredibly divisive. Like, there is truth or you are a shill and you're just a liar and your friends are demons. You know what I mean? And I think this is great, bringing these two sides together, and let's perform this objective, observable, real experiment together. So we're going to participate in real science. We're going to participate together as human beings, you know, not all this like chop it up. And I think it's brilliant. I think it's awesome what you're doing. And I want to, we'll be praying for you. And pastoring a church is no light matter. That's incredible. We need more people like you that are willing to take on that type of work. Our country needs more biblical pastors that are willing to serve people. And in a very small way, I see this whole final experiment as kind of like it shows your spirit in all of that, that you want to unify, and not in this new ecumenical, ooey gooey, like all merge into one Baphomet kind of thing, but you sincerely can see both sides of the argument and you want to find a way to resolve it and bring people together and dispel lies. I mean, so there's just a lot of very interesting things about this that I find compelling, that I find personally interesting. And I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. It is, as far as geopolitical things going on in 2024, I do believe it is probably like the most important thing from a geopolitical standpoint. I think it's going to happen in 2024.
I agree. I love it.
Well, Will, as we're wrapping up, where can folks find you?
Yeah, so our website has a ton of information on it. It's thefinalexperiment.com with dashes between the words, the-final-experiment.com. We have a countdown timer on there for when we land in Antarctica. We have the six videos that kind of announced the final experiment to everyone and explain it. We have an FAQs page. We have a list of the participants. We have a list of interviews where you can see all the interviews I do. We show you if it's a flat earther interviewing me or a globe earther interviewing me. So a lot of good information there. You can contact me through the website if you want to go to Antarctica with us, or if you want to ask me any questions. And then YouTube is where we're uploading most of our updates. So just search The Final Experiment on YouTube. We'll come right up and subscribe, and you'll get all the updates as soon as they happen.
There you go, y'all. I will link Will's information down below. Will, I want to thank you for being on the Fearless Podcast. Remember, y'all, this is a value for value proposition. If you do like and appreciate the type of content that we put out, please go over to thetexasboys.com. Also, I want to remind you of our local meetup this Saturday, July 6th at Bob Wells Nursery at Sorella Farms in Mineola, Texas from 10 to 2 p.m. Bob Wells is offering a 10% discount for all of our attendees. We're looking forward to hanging out and fellowshipping with y'all. And if you want to stick around at 2 p.m., we're going to be going to East Texas Burger Co. for some hamburgers and some fellowship. But we always enjoy meeting our people in real life and creating community, parallel economy. And remember, y'all, stay fearless, my friends.